It's nice to have Julia back and Shelby back from college. And Derek, you're done now? Okay. I know Russ asked him last week, and they still had some finals to go. So it's always an exciting time of the year. And high schoolers still have about another, 10 days to get out Wednesday? Get out the 23rd? Tuesday the 23rd? Okay, so they still have a few days to go. continuing on in our series this morning, it's not really a series. It's built on one another on the previous message like I've done in previous years. They're just separate messages, but we've looked so far at some different things about Christmas, and you do have a sheet in your bulletin to follow along and take some notes. But this morning, we're going to look at the activities of Christmas, and I love, as I've said so many times before, I love the anticipation of Christmas much more than I do actual Christmas Day. From really beginning of November, Thanksgiving is my very favorite day of the year, but kind of you start getting in the mood for Christmas right around maybe a little bit before Thanksgiving, unless you're out in the malls, and it's now in August and September when they start putting Christmas displays up. But I love the building up to it, the anticipation of Christmas. It's not so much the gifts, but I don't know if some of these might be some of the activities that you do. Maybe, I know we used to always have a happy birthday Jesus cake each year, and we'd have that ready on Christmas Eve, and church Christmas parties. Maybe it's just a family Christmas party. You hang the stockings, you decorate the tree, you have a fire in the fireplace. All those things are fun parts of Christmas, and there's a lot of different ways of celebrating, lots of traditions that keep families together. And I think that's why Christmas can be such an emotional time for people, whether it's the loss of a loved one or just memories that you had as a kid that you don't do anymore. family gatherings, maybe movies you watched together, songs that you played on a record player when you were a kid, all in anticipation of a Christmas day. I've told you, I started working on my series for Christmas back when I was in California in October. And I thought about the struggles of Christmas, the things that bring out or separate the joy, kind of tear down the joy. Last week we looked at the words of Christmas. And today, for this one, I was thinking of what are some of the activities of Christmas, and I came up with only two of the five that we're going to look at. And I wanted to have more than two, and I really thought about this, and I was surprised how some of these, or all of these, I believe, were part of the first Christmas. So let's just ask the Lord to bless our time and then get looking at it. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can celebrate your birth. We don't know that it was December. We don't know the exact date. We don't pretend to think that. But Lord, this is the time of the year that it's on our calendar, and we want to remember your birth. We want to think of how that led to the cross. And we're so grateful for what you did for us. Thank you for the birth of Jesus. And as I said last week, the thing that impresses me most about the love of God is that Christ willingly left that perfect home, that perfect fellowship that he had with you, to come to a filthy, sinful place as earth and to be born in a human family, to live that perfectly sinless life, facing all the temptations and struggles that we face, and laid that life down for us as the only perfect sacrifice that would work. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless us as we look this morning at some of the things that we do that I believe were part of that first Christmas, and just guide and direct in all we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point that I have is music. Music. I love the music of Christmas. And again, you know this. My kids will tell you, I don't listen to it every day through the year, but I listen to Christmas music. I have it on my computer. I just have it mixed in with all other songs. I have a bunch of songs that might have 400 songs on my computer, and I just have it all lumped together. I have some Christmas music to come up maybe a few times a week, but I don't care what people think. If you don't like that I listen to Christmas music, it doesn't bother me that you don't. But I love Christmas music, and I think there are some voices that just go with Christmas. Do you ever stop and think about that? Like Perry Como, and some of the young people are thinking, who? Perry who? Bing Crosby, obviously I think of Bing Crosby with White Christmas. Johnny Mathis is another. We have a Carpenters album that I love. Amy Grant, Christian singer today, has done 4 or 5 Christmas albums that I really like. And they've all done a great job. You just associate their voices with Christmas, but I said it's just such an essential part of Christmas is this music. It's such an important part of it, and I believe that they obviously music can convey spiritual truths. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. That's why we sing at least three songs of service when we come together on a Sunday. There are words that people have written down in music form, and I want you to understand how important music is to God. We see it from the first five books of the Bible. I believe there was singing in the book of Genesis. I believe that the people sang together. Certainly the song of Moses, the people sang when they were delivered out of Israel. The Psalms were full of songs. Matter of fact, that's what they were. And it says in the beginning of chapters, it was to be sung to the tune of whatever. We don't know the tune any longer. Think of the Song of Solomon, a book that was literally sung. You think of the New Testament and how the people were together. I always go to Paul in prison. Paul and Peter in prison, and they were singing as they were shackled together. God loved music, and I wondered if that first Christmas, what that was really like. I can imagine. I believe it was an angelic army, an angelic host, but it was also people look at it and say it was an angelic choir that announced the birth of Christ, and I believe the angels sang. I really do. I don't believe it was just a boring message, just a light flash as the shepherds were out, and they just sang, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I believe it was a chorus that rang out, and I wondered, as I worked on this week, did the ground shake at the notes that were sung? Did the hills echo back the chorus of the words, glory to God in the highest? And I wondered, my mom would ask this question. I wonder if they repeated that several times so that the shepherds could understand the song. That's one of her problems about modern-day choruses, is that they repeat themselves constantly. And I wonder if the shepherds or the angels just said, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace good among men with whom he is pleased. I wonder if they just said that one time. Or perhaps did they just sing that out? And it was an ongoing repeat of a chorus. But I believe that there was singing there. I believe there was music because God loves music. Whatever it was done, whether it was singing or it was a spoken message, but I believe it was singing, whatever it was done, it moved the shepherds to immediate action. If you return in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we'll be spending some of our time there, not the whole thing, but Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Verse 14 says that's the angels' song, glory to God in the highest. But verse 15, it says, it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Music was such a vital part to worshiping God. I can't help but think that music was part of that first Christmas. There's a song that just came out that I just saw for the first time this week. Many of you have heard the Alleluia song. I played it for Ron the other night at our deacons meeting, before our deacons meeting started. It's a song that's been out. A lot of people have recorded it. But it was just made about 2 weeks ago. A guy rewrote it. Called the Alleluia Chorus Christmas Version. I want you to listen to this. It goes from really, well, just listen to the words. It's a powerful song. The words will be up here as the song is sung.
Hallelujah. couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place for you. We're coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born.
Can be that pretty and that powerful, how much more beautiful we'll be when we get to heaven. I remember them saying that when we were at a Promise Keepers event and you had 40 to 60,000 men singing How Great Thou Art or another great song, and we were all, you know, guys be crying just hearing the songs and just thinking, how much better will heaven be? Think back when the angels appeared. What great worshipful music must have been around that night. So music was part of the activity. Number two is traditions. My favorite family tradition was growing up was Christmas Eve. and we'd gather at our house each year following the Christmas Eve service, and it was the same friends every single year who came from the time, as long as I can remember. And each family would bring a couple of items to pass and different desserts. But my mom would spend all day in the kitchen. We'd have meatballs. We'd all kinds of different things and just anything, all the food you can imagine. And we had, I think there were 6 or 7 different families that came. There was about 30 that came every year to our house. And then on New Year's Eve, it was our house, and my best friend Bill Glass and his family would have everybody, same group, over New Year's Eve. So we had a week, two parties in a week. But that was my great memory. I still talk about that with my mom and my other sister who passed away. We used to just talk about that. And we would love to have done that, have that memory for our kids. But obviously, being a pastor, we've been in 3 different churches in 30 years of ministry, and we still get together with family. We'll still have some friends over, but we don't do that same thing. My parents lived in the same house for their entire marriage. Well, I shouldn't say that. We lived in one house where I was born, and then we moved when I was about 4. But they lived in the same house, and they had the same friends, and obviously living in a few different towns as we have. We haven't had that opportunity to develop that tradition with our kids, but we have some of our own that we like to do, certain things that we like to eat, but it's just neat to have traditions. And it makes great memories. It makes for opportunities just to be able to look back over the years and say, remember when we did this? And it just makes Christmas special. But God had clearly announced his son's birth was going to be coming. So people were preparing for that. And Jesus was born into a very Jewish or devout Jewish home. And as you read through the New Testament and you compare it to what we know of some of the Jewish practices of today as well as of that period, we find that his mother and father were very devout. And there were certain things that they did that were part of the Jewish tradition. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 21, it says, when they were 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name is called Jesus, the name that was given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus was circumcised. That was a Jewish tradition passed down, obviously, from Moses that God gave to him. But it was a day that they named the child. And they named him Yeshua, or Jesus. If you look at verse 22, I don't have it up there. Verse 22 says, Mary and Joseph went on. Verse 22, when the days were purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him there. That should be verse 22, not verse 28. The parents went to Jerusalem for 2 reasons. That was again, passed down. There was certain things that they were to do. The first thing was so that Joseph could pay the price of redemption for a son. And then the second thing is for Mary to bring an offering of purification. If you were to look back at Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1, or the whole chapter, verses 1 to 8. There's 8 verses in the chapter. If you were to look back there, it said that a woman was impure for 40 days after the birth of a son, and that at that time she would bring an offering to the temple to pay for that purification sacrifice. Early commentaries indicate that a woman could wait until she had multiple children. So if she had 3 or 4 children, she could wait until the last child was born and 40 days later take the offering. But most women, most devout Jewish women, we believe Mary was a very devout woman, would follow what was strictly put down in Leviticus 12, that she would make that pilgrimage there and she would make that sacrifice in conjunction with what the Bible said. And I thought, how many times throughout the story that we looked at this past year, the 31 weeks of looking at Genesis through Revelation, how many times did we see God telling the nation of Israel, remember this? So he put in special sacrifices, he put in special days of celebration for them to remember the traditions that were to be passed down from generation to generation. You can think of all the Passover is one, but there were many things that God said, I want you to put this down and I want you to practice this year after year after year and to pass it on to your family and to their family. Traditions were very important to God. I think traditions are important for us today. Keep traditions in your Christmas activities. If you don't have tradition, make some up, do something, get something going each year. Maybe your kids have moved out and you said, we don't have the same type of opportunity to do it. Just do something with you and your spouse. But pass down traditions. There's something comforting, There's something encouraging, and I believe there's something rewarding and even something biblical about passing down traditions. So music is part of our Christmas. It was part of the first. Traditions are part of our Christmas. It was part of the first Christmas. Lights. This is one of the words that I thought of when I was in California. I thought lights, and I thought of the last one that we're going to be looking at in a moment. But part of the tradition in many families is putting up lights. They used to be color lights. They used to be the big bulbs. Remember that you'd put them on the tree, and if one burned out, the rest of them would stay lit. You know, now if one burns out, the whole string goes out. But they used to be the big ones like we had in the candles in the windows. And they were normally colored, not that many people had just white lights on. But putting up lights within the house, around the fireplace, around windows, around the mirrors, around doorways. A lot of people go out, and if you've seen the Simmons have driven by here, at night they have lights all out here, and a lot of people do. And that's one of our traditions since we've been married, was to go out on Christmas Eve after the Christmas Eve service. If we didn't get together with friends, we would just go and drive through some of the different areas and just watch and look at the lights. We still do that with our kids. But Christmas lights are special. And Christmas Eve candlelight service is special because it's a tradition, but it's also lights. And we need to understand that Jesus is the light of the world. So when we put lights up, let's keep about that. And I know people complain about having a tree, and that's not one of our points we're going to be looking at today. But people say, oh, it was a secular background to it. When I think of the tree, and I've shared this before, I always think of the song that says, Christmas, have gifts, I'll be home for Christmas, please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. People argue with me and say, no, it's presents under the tree. The original song said presents on the tree. And I've taught the lesson that the greatest gift that man ever knew was hung on the tree. So when I look at a Christmas tree, I think about the cross. And so if you have a problem with a Christmas tree up in church, get over it, because I think it's not a problem, because it causes me to think about the cross. But the lights, Jesus is the light of the world, and lights are important to God. We look in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. It says, the glory of the Lord shone around about them. At the resurrection, in Luke chapter 24, verse 4, it says, when the women came to the tomb and they walked in and they didn't find Jesus' body, but they found the wrapping, and it says the angels were there in dazzling apparel. See, lights were important at Christmas time because lights were important in Scripture. And again, don't think about lighting the Christmas tree as being anything secular. It's showing that Jesus is the light of the world. Number four is celebration and parties. And I'm not stretching this. I don't want you to think I'm really pulling this out of the hat trying to say this. But celebrations and parties, I think, were part of the original Christmas. I'm not sure what all occurred in the manger the night that Jesus arrived. And I know many of you think I'm really, really old, but I wasn't there. But I don't picture it being a boring event. I can't picture something associated with something that was so long anticipated from the beginning of the Bible, when God said, talked about the woman will give birth and talked about it's going to defeat Satan. But anyway, the gospel was given back in Genesis 3:15. And this has been anticipated for thousands of years, and certainly a long 9 months for Mary and Joseph as they anticipated this news, this greatest birth in history. But I don't imagine them sitting down and just saying, Mary, after she delivered this one that was going to be the Messiah, and just looking at her husband saying, wow, I'm glad that's over. Wow, that was a tough one. I don't picture that happening. I'm not sure that the innkeeper came out and celebrated with them. I'm not sure that any of the town people came out to offer congratulations. But I believe when the shepherds arrived, there was some kind of a party. I believe Mary and Joseph celebrated with the shepherds because the shepherds couldn't keep the news to themselves. If you were to read through this chapter 2, in verse 18, it says, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, who did they tell? It could have been people on the way to the manger. It could have been people on the way from the manger. But if they were so excited about the news of hearing about Jesus, imagine the celebration they would have had when they saw this baby. There was a party. There was a celebration. There was excitement. And they were celebrating something that they didn't really know that much about. They knew that Jesus had been born. They knew that he was going to be the Savior, but they had their knowledge of Jesus was incomplete. They didn't know about the cross. They didn't know about his victorious life and struggle against Satan. They didn't know he was going to be tempted. They didn't know any of that stuff. They just knew that this promised baby had been born. What a party. What a great celebration. I was going to have the group come up and sing. Ron, can we put up the words to Emmanuel? We sang this last week, and this is one of my favorite Christmas songs. I introduced this when we came 5 years ago because our church had sung it. But it goes from the stable all the way to the cross. And we're not going to take the time to sing it because we do have the communion service. But from the squalor of a borrowed stable by the Virgin and the Savior's faith to the anguish and the shame of scandal. Again, just talking about what Mary went through as a young teenage girl, a virgin, as she had to tell people, no, I'm not pregnant by anybody. It's not a human baby. It's I've been faithful to Joseph. This is God's child. Would you believe that? She did. She went through it. It says, came the Savior of the human race. With the praise of heaven, shepherds listen to the angels tell. We just talked about that. The celebration that they must have had. Next verse, Ron. King of heaven, now the friend of sinners. That's what I was talking about last week when I said the biggest impact of Christ, God's love for me is thinking that he left heaven and now he's become a man to be a friend of you and I, a friend of sinners, humble servant in the Father's hands, filled with power in the Holy Spirit, filled with mercy for the broken man. And then it says he walked my road. He knew my pain. Next one, Ron. And then this goes to the cross, which that Alleluia song talked about. And I just loved that part of that song that we just played, the Alleluia song, where it said, it was my sins drove the nails in you. Whenever I think about the cross, that's what gets me so emotional. I'm not crying now. I'm just losing my voice. But to think about my sins are what put him there. But it says, through the sins of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgression. He was punished for my sins. He was punished for your sins. That's the cause for celebration. That's, other than Christmas and just what Christmas is all about and all the festivities of it, celebrate Christmas because of the birth of the baby who would become our Savior. Okay, Ron, go back. I'm sorry to the PowerPoint. I don't know if you can do that easily and make that shift back. Okay, we'll move it on here to... Okay. I'm just trying to read what it said. The shepherds couldn't keep the news to themselves and would not have changed moods when they saw the Messiah in person. That's what I was getting at. There was a celebration there because they saw the baby. And then the final one. This is the only other one I thought of originally. I thought of lights and I thought of gifts. And obviously, you know where I'm heading with this point. But every one of us loves to get gifts. We love to receive gifts. But some of us like to give gifts just as much. We enjoy having someone in mind and shopping for. I'm not a shopper, so I don't do this a whole lot anymore. But we like to shop for a gift and then watch the person's expression when we get them something we know they're going to appreciate, something they're really going to like. I used to love giving gag gifts too. And I might have shared this, but the funniest memory I have is my father-in-law loved to do stuff. He loved to laugh. And he loved yogurt-covered raisins. So one year, I figured, I'm just going to get him. He would always do silly stuff. So we went out and bought like 5 pounds of yogurt-covered raisins. And Cheryl had all these Christmas wrapping tubes that were left over. So I just taped up an end, and I took out. It took me hours, but I individually wrapped in aluminum foil every single one of those yogurt-covered raisins, and I stuffed them into the tubes, and I gave them to my father-in-law. And my father-in-law always liked to, he'd try to guess every gift by shaking it or feeling it, and this, you know, I had them stuffed really tight, so it was tubes all tied together and wrapped, and Cheryl wrapped it nice, and he's shaking. He had no idea what they were, And we have a picture somewhere of him opening that first raisin, and the expression on his face was, oh, you got me. And I love that. But that was a special moment for he and I. But we love to give gifts. And I wondered, were there gifts that first Christmas? Obviously, we know there were. The wise men brought gifts, but as I said last year, and I might have ruined Christmas for some of you, the wise men didn't come till Jesus was older. They didn't come the night of Christmas. They came when Jesus was already a couple of years old. But they brought gifts to him, but it's nothing compared to the gift that he offered 33 years ago. In my first Christmas series here at Draper Baptist, I did a series of on Christmas. My first Christmas series here was The Gift of Salvation. And I just looked at how we shop for gifts and what we do with our gifts. And we looked at that each week of the great gift that God gave us. The first one is that Jesus shopped for the gift. It says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And we looked at that verse about that great gift of God. The second thing we looked at, it was paid for. And that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, paid for our salvation with his own life, with his own blood. We said it was wrapped. A Christmas present is wrapped. And we looked at Jesus being wrapped twice. It says in Luke 2 that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. My niece was up with her baby a couple weeks ago, and he was he was born, I think, just before my birthday or just after. I can't remember. I was hoping for him to be born on September 16th, but he was born just right around there. But she had him wrapped up, and I felt so bad for him. I mean, he just looked like he was bundled up like a mummy. And he just was like this the entire time. And just, you know, from his neck down to his feet. And I saw a picture she had him up. He was baptized a couple of weeks ago. They're Presbyterian, so she had him baptized. But he was wrapped up that same thing. I was thinking, that poor kid. His nose itched or whatever. You know, kid wouldn't be able to do anything. But that's what swaddling clothes were. He was wrapped tightly. But he was also wrapped later as he presented the gift. He was wrapped in death cloths. And he was wrapped in those tomb clothing for you and I. And then we said, a gift is given. Jesus offered his gift of salvation to everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So I want you to think as we celebrate Christmas, as you go through the activities of Christmas and listening to music, realize that was there. As you come to traditions and you go through your traditional stuff over the next few weeks, maybe even up to New Year's Eve and to New Year's Day, you do the same thing every year. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for those memories and the traditions that come that God had instituted. When you when you hang the lights or you see the lights, remember that God said his son was the light of the world. When you have parties, you go someplace and you celebrate. Don't be embarrassed by that and think that it's something wrong. It's great to celebrate. Think about what the angels must have done or the shepherds must have done. And then when you give and receive gifts, keep in mind that that completely pales in comparison to the greatest gift that was ever offered. Father, thank you so much for this time. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, just for your blessings to us. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you here in America. And Lord, we're just thankful for the blessings and the opportunity to celebrate Christmas and your birth. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift. And we're just about to come now to the communion table to remember that. And I pray, Lord, that you would just prepare our hearts to receive this with you. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the blessing of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.